last season is your favourite TV show, then boy, did a few of the main characters get a shock last weekend.
Yes, things took a few twists and turns, with just a couple of episodes left until the series finale.
Upset all over the place. Historic results too, as three of the top five lose in round 15. And Sail Sharks, get their first win!
Unbelievable. Yes, we've more news of club departures, meaning there'll be at least three new head coaches in the PWR next season. And after such a mega weekend of spills and thrills, we'll hear from you. It's a Power Pals special, starting with this.
Trail Finders Bears was the best game of this season. Chiefs versus Sharks was the worst game of this season, but it keeps that race alive.
He was Rob. That is Philippa Tuttiot. I'm Nick Heath, and this is the Power Pod. Oh, Philippa, what a weekend we had. Goodness me. We've got quite a lot to talk about. How was your weekend, first of all, before we crack into it all?
Yeah, no, it was good, thank you. I was on the comms for URC action for Munster Dragons, or should I say Dragons Munster, which was not as entertaining as every other PWR game, it has to be said. but yes, enough said about that. Let's focus on the PWR. Although, did you go skiing in the end?
I didn't make it to Trailfinders because I did get up the mountain. The plane took off. So yes, had a lovely few days. It was a bit rainy, but we won't complain because life up the mountain is life up the mountain. So yes, it was all good. Thank you. We do have a lot to get through. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. A reminder, by the way, that if you are a fan of us and you can get along to the Stonex, we have our live show. It's Good Scouts Rugby and the Power Pod, the ultimate final live show. Join us all at the Stonex on the 16th. Of March. Tickets are available via Eventbrite, via the link in our Instagram bio. And I think there might have been a brief period where the event said it was sold out and it wasn't. I mean, we are very popular, obviously. but I think that's been sorted. Anyway, get on and get your tickets. But we have a round 15 to review. Philippa, take us to Valis Way.
Oh my gosh. Right. Okay. So on Saturday, Trailfinders 39, Bristol Bears 38. Oh, what a game this was. It was so good. That brilliant result from Trailfinders, who resisted a late charge by the Bears to claim a memorable home win. Trailfinders were out of the blocks with Kate Zachary, Lisa Thompson, Liz Musgrove helping secure that bonus point before half time. Lark Atkin Davis, Alicia Joyce Butchers, and Millie Davey responded for the Bears. Then it was all Trailfinders in the second half before Millie David and Lark Atkin David scored their second each to make it a 1-point game. But Trailfinders, they found a way to hold on. So look, let's hear from one of Trailfinders' immense Canadians and one of the try scorers. Here's Tyson Bookaboom speaking after the game to the Rugby Voice.
This week we were just a little bit more confident. I think we felt the momentum on our side a little bit more today. Last week, it was just very back and forth. I think last week could have gone either way at any given moment, but this week it felt like we had them on their heels for a lot of the game. And obviously that's a bit of a work on trying to keep the momentum for the whole game instead of kind of dropping off a little bit here and there. But unbelievably proud of the girls and the team and the effort that we put in, especially coming off such a highly physical and emotional and just overall exhausting week last week and being able to put this performance together. So proud of everyone.
Yeah, thanks to Chloe for sharing that post-match reaction with us. Let's just read a couple of messages from you, our Power Pals. Pete Blackman, by the way, Pete, your voice note, which we did get, was just a little muffled and windy, so we couldn't include that this week, but we will read out your DM to us. Hey, PowerPod, absolutely delighted Trailfinder supporter here. What a game, but what a brain fart from Bears in the 80th minute. Kira Bevan was kicking brilliantly, so why not go for the 3 points to win the game? Bears will see it as 3 points lost now, surely, of course, getting 2 points from the game instead of the 5 they might have expected on the road. Philippa, your thoughts on that? I mean, for anybody who didn't know, they got the penalty. It was probably, what was it, around the 15-meter line down in from the side on the 22. They kicked that to the corner. They didn't get the line out, but then the trail finders got penalized for an obstruction on their clearance kick. They thought they'd won it then. But I think that position was probably kickable.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Although Kira Bevan, just sort of before all this happened, she slightly missed a conversion. It literally hit the post. So I wouldn't have thought, you know, that's enough to like put her off. So it must have been a call from the pack that they felt that they had the momentum and they could get the, you know, the maximum points from that situation. But talk about brain fart as well. Millie David, like, I love you. You're an amazing winger. But when you get over the line, just put the ball down. She literally like ran into the, let me find the biggest trail finders I can. Let me make sure there's like four or five of them. And I'm going to run in the middle of you and have a little cuddle before I try and put the ball down. I mean, if there was TMO, then that try may have gone another way. But anyway, I don't want to take away anything for trail finders because wow. And, you know, as you mentioned there, when they held that ball up, they were a player down. Down then as well, like literally everything was against them and they got the win in front of that crowd.
Yeah,
big crowd like that. You know, we've talked about double headers before. That is an example where a double header works. It's on a Saturday, midday kickoff. Oh, spectators would have been treated. And you know, if they don't come back for the next home game, like, you're crazy.
Yeah,
they did a lot for women's rugby in that game. Both teams.
Yeah, we also heard from Kaylee, aka Winslade, who we've heard from before, who is a Bears fan. Oh my goodness, trail finders against Bears, wowee, was the message. Surely it's going to be tough for Bears to break top four now. Trail finders were spectacular. Nick, I didn't see you at Vallis Way, so hopefully you had a great time away. Thank you very much, I did. And then there was a second message that came through a couple of minutes later. Chiefs lost to Sale. Yes, Sale. The plot thickens with the rescheduled game. Bears v Chiefs to come. I think I need to go for a lie down. Too much drama for one weekend. But yeah, you're right, Philippa. I mean, great scenes. Great to have the fans there. And Bristol, they didn't get what they needed, did they? They're sort of two teams that over the season, I think, have just been guilty of, you know, inviting people in, knowing they're going to score, but not quite keeping the gate bolted at the back.
And when you look at the stats, Bristol were leading in most of the important ones. Like they had the better set piece there. Trail finders conceded 17 penalties, like missed the most tackles. Yet they just found a way. It must have been a very frustrating game for Bristol. And you can tell in the coach's comments that we've got for you that you can listen to later in the pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Nine bonus points, producer Caleb tells us. Yes, that trail finders have amassed. So that's pretty decent if you're taking something from games at the most opportunities that you can. And certainly they've been scoring plenty of try bonuses as well. So what drama. Congrats to trail finders. They really are right up there in the mix. And if they can continue to kick on with these players next season, then they can start to dream of even better days, I would say. We will discuss more, I guess, about Bristol's fate a little later. But let's just move then our attention in review to Leicester Tigers 12, Loughborough Lightning 61. That one was the TNT game live from Mattioli Woods, Welford Road. Loughborough travelling up there, keen on claiming the regional bragging rights. Chrissy Scurfield opening Lightning's account before Charlotte Frey and Talia Brodie scored the only two tries that Leicester got. Nine tries by the visitors. Rachel Malcolm, Sadia Kabea, Daisy Hibbert-Jones, among those that helped Nathan Smith's charges demolish the Tigers. And it was a demolition job. So, Lightning getting a decent haul of points in that Midlands derby.
And we've had another power pal in touch, Mikolai. He was watching this one. Derby day at Welford Road. Wasn't lucky for my team. However, it was a great day out with my daughter. With two home games left, I'm a bit upset that this season is ending earlier. On the other hand, the Six Nations is round the corner. Shame Tom Hudson is leaving. Hope the new coach will be appointed soon.
Yes, news, of course, coming that Tom Hudson is going to be leaving his post at Leicester Tigers after a couple of seasons there. Of course, he was working alongside Vicky McQueen. Then he took on the top role. He's going to be leaving, as is Luke Stratford, also known as Mr. Zoe Aldcroft. So, well, you know, maybe is the family home a little nearer Gloucester? Does Luke Stratford fancy turning up on the coaching ticket down there with an exiting Sean Lynn? I mean, let's just start rumours based on a marriage and nothing else. But yeah, Tom Hudson, lovely, lovely fella as well. Had the chance to speak to Tom a fair few times ahead of doing games and seems a really lovely guy. But yes, lovely to hear from Mikolaj. Just on the game itself, I mean, how much have we missed Hel Rowe's footwork? I just thought it was lovely seeing Helen Rowland back, timing of her form and getting into that ideal to be putting a bit of pressure on around England. 61 points for Lightning, as I said. I mean, it's a decent haul of points. It's a scoreline I don't think we would have seen in the first half of the season from Loughborough Lightning. They probably wish there were another 10 rounds of PWR to go now, because they're able to put in these kind of big performances against teams like Tigers.
Yeah, it really feels like they've clicked now, doesn't it? But like you say, it's just that little bit too late. It'll be interesting to see post-World Cup how many of these players they keep hold of. Like Schofield, oh, she literally has got the booster button. It's so exciting. You think she's running full pace, and then as soon as she gets her hands on that ball, it's just douche, just gone, you know, breaking through. It's brilliant. And like you say, with Helena Rowland, timing to perfection, her performances, I just hope she stays fit. My gosh, has she had an unlucky run with injuries? It's a big year. Please sleep well, do lots of stretching, stay fit. We want to see you on the biggest stage this year.
I love the idea that the ideal World Cup prep is just do lots of stretching.
Stretch and sleep.
Yeah, stretch and sleep. Sleep recovery is the key. So yes, lovely to see Helena Rowland back. Anyway, so congratulations to Loughborough Lightning on getting all 5 points on the road. All right, let's move things over to the Twickenham Stoop, where it was Harlequins 10, Saracens 33. Let's bring in Tom Sims, one of our power pals, with his take on things first of all.
A tough day at the Stoop as Harlequins' winning run came to an abrupt end at the hands of a dominant Saracens. I think Saracens topped every single stat that mattered. The only ones that Harlequins were top of was penalties conceded and handling errors, which unfortunately stopped any momentum. The highlight of the game from the Quins' perspective was two good tries, a couple of half breaks and a kick through and chase by Connie Powell, which was brilliant. Other than that, it really was Saracens' day and a well-deserved win.
So Tom was spot on. It was an abrupt end to Quinn's 10-match winning streak. All good things come to an end for Quinn's. And it was a dominant Wolfpack who stormed Southwest London. Lottie Sharp, the first to score for Saracens before a Moore try put Saracens 12 ahead after half an hour. Ellie Kildan finishing off a lovely try that she started on the stroke of half-time involving Beth Wilcock. Just a true lesson in what to do after you stop touching the ball. Just what's your work rate? Where else can you pop up? Love that. But this was all about Saracens. Lottie Sharp double, helping them on their way. She nearly got a third as well, was in great form, as was Poppy Cleal, earning the Player of the Week nod with 18 carries, 5 defenders beaten and 8 tackles. This was Saracens making a statement, Philippa.
It was a statement. It was like old school Saris, what we know and love from them. Very composed game. Looked like everyone knew what they were doing. The flow they were getting off the carries. Strong set piece. Awesome individual performances. And also, the players. They were missing quite a few players when you think about it. No Rosie Gallagher, no Marley Packer, Zoe Harrison, Jess Breach. And don't get me wrong, Quins were without some of their players as well. Jade Conkle, Alex Callender, Lagi Tuimi. But the strength and depth showed on the Saracens side. Just really, really impressive. Like I say, old school, just kind of like, no matter how much magic Harlequins did, and Ellie Kildan did a bit of magic, they never let the momentum go. Saracens just kept hold of it. It was a really controlled performance. And again, timing that at the right time of the season for Saris.
Yeah, certainly feels like they've really got back on the horse there. England under 20s, Amelia McDougall, good in her decision-making, distribution, helped by the presence of another scorer in Sophie Bridger at 12. And mentioning Lottie Sharp at her best, two tries, 124 metres made. Kildan was second in that game with 107. But yeah, back three players doing the business. And yeah, as you say, timing it right potentially for this run towards the title in what, about a month and a half's time.
So then we moved on to, is this the shock of the season?
Well,
it's a big one. So on Sunday, Exeter Chiefs 7, Sale Sharks 12. Wow.
Goodness.
Wow. That some days it just ain't going to be your day. And maybe that wet and windy Sandy Park made the girls from the north feel right at home. Two tries for Sale, one in each half. Molly Wright off a maul, then Beatrice Ragone on a shoulder. Rachel Johnson did give Chiefs, with 12 minutes to go, the opportunity to get the job done. But the game suspension for nearly half an hour because of thunder and lightning just killed any momentum the Chiefs had. But look, credit to Sale Sharks defense. They held out for a memorable first win of the season. So let's hear from now the outgoing head coach, Rachel Taylor.
At the time, probably an overwhelming sense of relief, you know, to be able to get an 80-minute performance out in those circumstances. Yeah, just really pleased, you know, pleased for the players. It's so nice to get them, to see them experience the win and see them so happy, you know, when I know how hard they work. I said after the game, you know, it was a squad effort. It wasn't the 15, it wasn't the 23. It was a lot of players back at home as well who've grafted this season. And obviously with my announcement of stepping down as head coach this season, it's nice to see them get that win. They're in a good place. I think there's an opportunities to grow into next season. You know, that's all I've ever wanted to do, is to try and leave it in a better place. And I've given all of my life to this club for the last 3 years in this role. You know, it's been really, really challenging at times and really demanding at times, but I've really enjoyed the opportunity to do it. It's a privilege to work with a group that we've got, and I'll you know, do everything I can to put them in the best possible place for next season. And hopefully we'll get our awards for sort of digging deep and being so patient for the whole year.
Oh, huge thanks to Rachel Taylor for that insight on how it felt after that win and how she's hoping to see this team through to the end of her time with them, which we learned since our last episode that also she will be leaving. 109 tackles in the final 20 minutes, as Sale Sharks shared on their social. 243 overall, the most of any team in round 15. Erica Jarrell making 25 of those tackles. Sale are usually in the bottom half in terms of average tackles per game. So this was a huge effort. Not the prettiest, not the greatest, a terrible pitch, muddy, you know, as we said, wet and rainy, game suspended, all sorts. They were very close. You know, they had enough of the game played that they nearly just called the result, but they did get on and play that last 10 minutes. But huge. Congratulations, Sale Sharks. I mean, I wish no ills to Exeter Chiefs, but amazing for them to go down there and get that result. And those celebratory scenes that we saw on social were just beautiful.
And especially after the announcement of Rachel Taylor, you know, moving on, I think that shows a team that really wanted to win it for their coach as well, not just winning it for themselves. You know, they wanted to send her off with a thank you for everything she's done, because it has been incredibly difficult for her and Katie Daly-McLean and the task they've got up there. And for them to get that win against Exeter Chiefs away, like, I literally, of all the upsets we've had, you know, this one is by far the craziest. But yeah, like you say, absolute credit to them. If a strength and conditioning coach turns up and goes, right, girls, we're going to do 20 minutes and we're going to do over 100 tackles in this drill, you'd be like, you are having a laugh. Well, that's ridiculous. A just unbelievable effort from it. And how many times have we said Sale have got a first half in them and they challenge, and the second half they die away?
Yeah.
So just brilliant that, you know, that's obviously something they have been working on, and the team is responding and reacting to it and coming over that, you know, all the players having to leave the pitch. You know, that must be such a strange vibe going into the change room, not knowing, right, are we done now? Do we stay warm? What are we doing? Yeah. You know, all that to manage. So yeah, brilliant. Well done, Sale. Well done, everybody at Sale.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. And, you know, it's the longest journey, we said last week, going from the north all the way down to Devon. You know, they stayed focused. They managed to get the job done. They stayed in the game right the way through the 80, or, you know, 2 hours, I guess, with the change, with the stoppage. So yeah, a brilliant effort from all at Sale Sharks, showing that they can really, really put their shoulder to the wheel when they need to get results like that. Huge disappointment for Exeter Chiefs, and look, we'll touch on them as we move into our previews as well. But yeah, for everybody that doesn't like to see a team in a league with the bagel come the end of the season, that one win, and who knows, maybe it will see Sale Sharks kick on to further wins with that little bit of buoyancy after that. Yeah, just absolutely superb to see. So well done to everybody up there on that result. Right, round 16 is coming over the mountain. And if it's anything like round 15, then we're in for an absolute treat. Three rounds left of the regular season. Just two games, if you're Loughborough Lightning, given how the calendar has fallen. Four games remaining for the likes of Exeter Chiefs and Trail Finders. So three of the round 16 games take place on Saturday. Tigers at home to the champions Gloucester Hartbury. Bristol Bears needing to be on their money with an in-form Loughborough coming to call. Trail Finders with that win behind them, welcoming a focused Saracens before on Sunday. Exeter Chiefs against Harlequins in a massive game. That one is live on TNT Sports. Unfortunately, we are not getting live streams from the likes of Tigers or indeed from Bristol. But we shall come on to that. Philippa, take us to the first one of this weekend.
Okay, so that is Leicester Tigers, who currently sit in eighth, playing Gloucester Hartbury, who is still top of the charts. So Leicester Tigers, a team playing their penultimate home fixture with Tom Hudson still in charge. They've had three losses on the bounce since their win against Sale Sharks. Gloucester Hartbury, who've had a bye week to come to terms with this being their last season with Sean Lynn. Mm. Can you just see the massive smile on my face though as I'm saying that? That's terrible.
Yeah, no
sorry, Hartbury.
With the circus.
It's very much sorry, not sorry. With Quins and Chiefs closing the gap between first and fifth, as it's now just 10 points, three less than a week ago.
Yeah, so look, I think we've got to start talking season run-ins now in this episode of the Power Pod, which we'll do for each of these games. So Tigers have this game, then they're away to Trail Finders and at home to Exeter Chiefs. Gloucester have got this one, then they're away to Sale Sharks before that Friday night home tie to Harlequins in the last round. So two teams sending off their coaches at the end of the season. So yeah, that is how these two are looking. But yeah, Leicester Tigers, they'll have felt a bit scalded by that Loughborough result, won't they? And they won't want the champions rolling into town, but they've got to try and give a better account of themselves at Mattioli Woods, Welford Road.
Yeah, the champions that are well rested as well coming into town, which isn't ideal. Maybe they need to go back and watch that Trailfinders Hartbury game, have a look at what Trailfinders managed to do, stifling that tip on play, slowing just a little bit of their flow. If they can try and get in and trouble Hartbury in that way, maybe there's a little in. But I mean, you know, Meg Jones can pull something out of nothing, but she's really going to have to be on top form to try and open Gloucester Hartbury up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the first game of the weekend. The second one, Saturday, 2 o'clock. Bristol Bears in fifth, Loughborough Lightning in sixth. I mean, this is, a hugely exciting game. It's at Shaftesbury Park. It's not going to be streamed. Gutted about that. But look, who is getting the abacus out as to what Bristol need to do to break into that top four? 1 point behind Exeter Chiefs in fourth, and they'll be ruined getting just 2 out of 5 points at Valisway last week. It might have been that big, exciting game for Trailfinders, but we mentioned earlier, great for fans and neutrals, but not for Dave Ward, who knows what they're up against now, as he told the club's media channels. Let's listen to this.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough for top four, and it might not be good enough for top four. It's not on our hands anymore. So we now have to watch Harlequins, Saracens, Exeter, and obviously Gloucester Hartbury fight it out for those top four spots, and if they're good enough, they'll make the top four and we won't. It's massive against Loughborough. Like, we absolutely need 5 points. There's no question about that. And so from my perspective, just making sure that, you know, I can prepare the team again. We have to go away. We have to get a Loughborough side that, of course, are ready again. They almost beat Exeter. They did beat Saracens. It's going to be a challenge for us.
Well, he's right, Phil, isn't he? I mean, he's not shying away from it. It's out of their hands, ultimately, and with an in-form Loughborough Lightning coming to tea.
Oh, they've made it so difficult for themselves. I mean, I just hope they love a challenge, because you've got a big old challenge now. And, you know, when you look at that table, yes, Exeter are only 1 point, like you say, between them, but they've got a game in hand. Mm. You know, you've got to make sure you look through them as well. With their run-ins, they've both got very tough teams to play. Bristol, Loughborough, and then Harlequins. That is tough. Exeter have Harlequins, Saris, but then they do finish with Tigers. So an opportunity, with all due respect, to get some points there. Tough.
What do Bristol need to do? Because they can't keep letting those tries in, can they?
Yeah, shoring up the defence a bit. There's an argument for the ball in play time, the amount that you keep it in attack. Are you then? Do you have enough energy for your defence if you're playing that high ball? And then maybe they do need to be a bit conservative with that kicking game and just allowing themselves that opportunity to save a bit of energy for defence, because you do feel like their attacking prowess, if that's like a 9 out of 10, that their defence is maybe a 7, and you want that to be much closer. You know, that needs to be reflective on both sides.
Well, Loughborough Lightning will be pretty pleased with their last performance. They will be loving the idea of turning up to Shaftesbury Park to do a job, and continuing that theme that we raised a few weeks ago with the impact that these teams in 6th and 7th, the likes of Loughborough and Trailfinders, will have on the top 4/5. And that may well continue at Shaftesbury Park. So, yes, it's not streamed. Get yourself down there. Pack out Dings Crusaders and see if you can enjoy a bit of the Bears against the Lightning.
Mm-hmm. Next one on Saturday is 3 p.m. and this is Trailfinders in 7th up against Saracens, currently sitting in 3rd. And great news is this will be live on the club's YouTube page. So Trailfinders, with 2 wins in their last 3 games, they've got their rescheduled match against Sale on February the 8th to come. Their run-in then, alongside the Saris game and that Sale match away, also includes being at home to Tigers and away to Loughborough in the final round. For Saracens, it felt like a statement win, like we've said, against Quins. Just 2 points behind Quins in 2nd now, and 2 home games to come against Chiefs and Sale.
Yes, yeah. Just a couple of stats for you. Ella Amory from Trailfinders assisted 3 tries at the weekend, more than any other player. She also assisted 1 clean break and made 2 herself. I think the assist chart still has Mo Hunt at the top of it. May Campbell and Kelsey Clifford for Saracens making the joint most dominant carries at the weekend, 7 apiece. It is good timing from the 3-time former winner Saracens, isn't it, in terms of their form towards this end of the season, because it was a little shaky, but that I think that win against Harlequins has really kind of, I would say, it's a sort of galvanizing performance that while missing a few people should allow them to go, right, we are ready now for this charge, and woe betide anybody that says they're not going to be in with a shout come the end of the season.
Yeah, and it's an interesting mindset for Trailfinders now, because I almost feel like, you know, when they got their first win, it wasn't like they stole the win. Of course, they earned that win and they were building towards it, but it was a bit of a, I don't know, I would just, if I was a player in that, it would have felt amazing, but it would almost have felt a bit cheeky, you know, like, oh my God, this was amazing. Whereas now they've got to be in that mindset, right, we've proven this, we've backed it up, now we're going to go and play Saris. That is the ultimate challenge. And this could be a really tight game. This could be an awesome game. You literally have got your 2 teams, and there's no negatives on either side. There are 2 teams in form.
Yeah.
Let's have it. Let's see.
Who cares about the men's Six Nations? Leave the smelly men to do their thing and get yourself along to Trailfinders, or watch on the YouTube, or, you know, double screen it, whatever you're doing on Saturday. So yes, that's Trailfinders against Saracens. Then on Sunday, it is the 12:45 game live on TNT Sports. Exeter Chiefs in 4th, Harlequins in 2nd. This has to be a shift in performance, doesn't it, for the Chiefs? One win in 4 games, and all 3 of those losses were at home. I only found that out last night when I was making the notes here. That is big, isn't it? No shortage of effort from the Chiefs last week, though. Look, Delika Menin came off the bench, made 7 dominant carries, which was joint top. 40 post-contact meters, that was top, despite playing 39 minutes. Crossed the gain line with all 12 of her carries. That's big. Adele McMahon, tricky. She made the most tackles at the weekend, total of 30. Dorothy Wall making the second most with 28. So that was the effort against Sale Sharks. I mean, we talked about the amount of tackles that they made. Quinns conceded 19 turnovers last week, which is a lot. Saracens also kicked a lot out them, but they just kept up the pressure on territory and possession. It was a textbook way, I think, to thwart Ross Chisholm's side, who only scored twice. So I think that's starving Quinns of a bit of ball and making them have to do it from their own 22 is clearly a tactic that Chiefs might look to try and use. And they're not shy of, you know, forcing penalties and kicking their way up the field and doing you with a catch and drive. So the tactics over how each of these teams get on top of each other, I think, is going to be really interesting come Sunday.
Yeah, and I think the personnel will also dictate that to a certain extent as well, especially with Harlequins, no Alex Callender, no Jake Ogle Roberts. You know, we talk about that breakdown and getting turned over. Like, Alex Callender's top sort of security guard around that area, and I think they really missed her. But also in saying that, with Exeter Chiefs, if you look at their starting lineup against Sale, there was quite a few changes. So I dare say, you know, we'll see, you know, a slightly stronger team fronting out from the beginning.
Quite a few big names on the bench, weren't there? Flo Robinson was there, and Nancy McGillivray. So yeah, I think that they may be a bit frustrated with the rotation they chose for there, but I guess you've got to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we've talked about the Chiefs running. Let's look at the Quinns running. So after this, they're home to Bristol and away to Gloucester. Toughest trio of games, or quartet of games if you add Sarries last week.
Yes, that what a run of teams that is, playing Saracens, then this game against the Chiefs, home to Bristol, and then away to Gloucester. It's good that Harlequins have kept themselves in the position they are in second, bearing in mind having to cope with this run of teams at the end of the season. And look, we mentioned their performers as well. Let's get another power pal on. We heard from Rob at the very start. He's been a great contributor to the power pod over the course of the season, and he certainly had his view on the strength of that Quinns back row.
The form back row of this season has been Nicole Wythe, Alex Callender, Jade Conkle. We've said it a bunch of times, but none of them available this week, and Quinns wave goodbye to the winning streak. Just not competitive against Sarries without those guys. I really hope we haven't seen the last of them, because Quinns are really going to need them now we're getting to the business end. And we want to see him in the Six Nations. In particular, we want to see Alex Callender as the new captain of Wales in the Sean Lynn era. You know, it makes sense. And just thank you for all the clubs that are live streaming. We got to see all four games this week, which was fantastic.
Yes, it is worth a shout to those clubs that did all the live streaming last week. Not as good this week, though. We can't give everybody a gold star this time. But what about his suggestion, Al Cal as Wales captain for the Six Nations? I quite like that. Give it to someone young who you know is going to be one of those first names on the team sheet. That's a good outlook, isn't it? What would you say to that, Welsh woman, Philippa?
First name on the team sheet, and also, you know, will die for the team. Like, she is, you know, Welsh blood through and through. She leads the example, and if anything, it's not so much now, but maybe a couple of seasons ago, she was a little bit penalty happy, you know, classic kind of flank rows, pushing the boundaries, seeing what she can get away with. And sometimes, you know, when you give a player like that a captaincy, that can almost help sort of rein in that little bit of that side, and learning to talk to the referee and things like that. So it could really help to sort of take her already, you know, amazing game, but just a little bit more of a mature level. So yeah, actually, I think that's a really good show. Hannah Jones, currently the captain, been there for many, many years, doing a fantastic job, but she is now coming towards the latter stages of her career. So like you say, maybe giving it to someone a bit younger, Al Cal. Yeah, it's not a bad show.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout. Will Sean Lynn change things up, bearing in mind Hannah Jones is also, you know, at his club? I don't know. I wonder whether he might just look for a little bit of consistency in that area and then build the team and make changes later. But we will see. I'm so fascinated to see Sean Lynn's first impact on this Welsh side and how that squad looks and various things. So yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's just look at the table then. And look, we've touched on it. Gloucester Hartbury are top still, yes. They have the 10 wins and 53 points. Harlequins, 10 wins and 50 points, three behind them. Then it's Saracens, 8 wins and 48 points. All three of those teams have played the same number of games. Then it's Exeter Chiefs in fourth with 12 played, 8 wins and 44 points. 1 point behind them, Bristol Bears on 43 points. And Chiefs, of course, have that extra game in hand. Then it's Lightning on 29, Trailfinders on 27, Leicester Tigers on 12, and Sale Sharks, who've got 4 points, no longer on the table. We're very pleased with Sale Sharks. That's how the table is looking.
Lovely stuff. And like we said, that weekend has caused you all to get in touch, which is brilliant. We want more of it. So on the power line, thanks to everyone who got in touch after that epic weekend, here's another message we received from Power Pal, Carl Cross.
Hi, my name's Carl Cross. I was wondering if the lesson from the weekend is about the power of the underdog in these games. And with the World Cup coming, maybe it's a bit of a lesson for some of the favourites about what happens when you face teams who have nothing to lose, because they often can find an extra percentage that can aid them. I don't know if that makes sense. I'm rambling, maybe.
Well, Carl, fear not. You are making sense, and it is a great point. And look, I know what Carl is referring to here. There are some world-class players out there who don't lose very often. And some of those players in the Red Roses side, particularly, who then will be playing in teams at the top of the PWR, you know, they don't lose in a Red Roses shirt very often. They then don't lose in a club shirt particularly often. And two or three losses can really affect people because it's just not something they experience. I think this is a key aspect of a Rugby World Cup year for some certain favourites that live not too far from these shores. Phil, in your experience, I mean, the importance of losing to be a winner, discuss.
Yeah, it's, you want to have that balance 100%. When I was playing, you know, Wales, we'd sort of second thirds in the Six Nations, but we were playing, I was playing what was called Clifton back then. And we were right up there in the Premiership. And I think it's important to have that balance, some wins, some losses, but more important than all of it is the coaching setup around it and how you review them, how you debrief them, how you process, because any win or loss is a learning opportunity, you know, and I think it could be really important for the likes of Harlequins, come off that huge run of wins. Now they've had a loss. They've had a humbling. It's an opportunity to learn and grow, isn't it? But it really comes down to the management of the people around you and how they facilitate that environment. That's really key to the wins and the losses.
Yeah, but it certainly does, you know, as Carl says, the power of the underdog, it makes you perhaps a little more conscious of, actually, if we're playing against these teams that in theory have less at stake, who can't be challenging for the very top, they can give it a lash and you know, we have to be very wary of them. And yeah, there are certainly teams in this PWR season that have felt that side of things. So the power line, 07880716219. It has been great to hear from so many of you, and just amazing when a big weekend like that blows up and everybody wants to get in touch. So it's been lovely to have you all as part of the Power Pod over the course of the season. Our one question, well, we're a little closer to getting our response from Tess Fury, you can blame me. I'm just going to say there was such a busy, amazing weekend. But we know that Tess Fury is currently musing on her one question, and we'll have that for you next week. Okay, any other business? I've got a little thought here for you, Philippa Tussiott. We put out on the socials when there's, you know, this sort of time of year, you're starting to look towards, well, you are in the PWR given this season, the end of the season. And we know that that we've got a lovely big final and a few things planned at the Stonex. But do we look at that end of season 15? And we know that our friends at Oval Insights have their statistic-based bits. But, you know, sometimes, as a couple of people have got in touch and said, you could end up with stats that are based on what you might have done perhaps against a leakier defence. And that might not show as good as if you made the same meters or scored the same number of tries against a really difficult team. And I think with our view over the course of the season here on the Power Pod, even, that sounds like some form of incontinence device, then I think we can use us and our listeners to perhaps come up with our end of season 15 that maybe just looks slightly away from the stats and is more about our gut feel. I then actually got a message from Queen Rugby World Cup winner herself, Rachel Burford, who said or suggested, what about making it a non-senior international 15? So actually you discount all of those that are playing at the very top internationally.
Nice.
And I said, all right, well, are you contributing then? And she was like, yeah, I'm in. We could do two. I think us and the Power Pals could nominate those players that we think have absolutely aced it. And perhaps we could do a non-senior international 15 as well. So get in touch, I think, is ultimately what we're saying. Leave us a voice note with two or three of the players that you think should be in that top 15. Or if you want to give us a full 1 to 15 and message us over on that through WhatsApp, then feel free. 07880716219. We'd love to include your messages as to how we bring our own Power Pod end of season 15 together, and perhaps with a little nod to a non-senior international 15 as well. Any early shouts, any names, name or two that you're definitely going to be sticking in there, Philippa Tatian?
Right on the spot, Jobby.
I'm going Nicole Wythe. I mean, Nicole Wythe has got to be in there.
Of course you are. Of course you are. God. I've got a million names in my head, and now I'm like frantically thinking, how many caps do they have? Do they have a cap? Are they under a 20s cap? First player.
You're sticking with the non-senior international aspect. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's what I wanted to try and find, because I feel like with the internationals, there's, you know, there's lots of amazing, amazing players. Oh, I can't, because you know what? If I say one, I'm going to listen back to this and go, damn it, I should have said blah, blah, blah. So I'm just not going to say anything. The suspense.
You're going to get splinters sitting on that fence.
I overthink too much. You know this, Nick. You've got to give me time. That's a big question.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Well, you have got some time, and no doubt it is something that we will be debating at our special live pod with Good Scars Rugby. Yes, you can join Good Scars Rugby, powered by Vodafone, for a live show at the Stonex Stadium for that PWR final. You will have included the glorious likes of Alma Smith, myself, Philippa Tatiot, Katie Daly McLean, Meg Jones. We'll have a bit of a Q&A. There'll be photo opportunities if you want a picture with the swoosh. Then I suggest you get in the queue. And of course, at this point, we don't know which teams will be battling out, but we've got a fairly good sense of who is it up there and in the mix. So two pods that beat as one. And yes, you are welcome with whatever Super Saturday hangovers you might have. We'll get through it together. Will Moe's Circus make the cut? Will it be a home final for the Saracens girls? Could Ilona Maher be there in Bears kit? Will Quins have another big game on their hands? Or can the Chiefs storm their way into that final as well? So we'd love you to get your tickets and to join us there. Right, Philippa, I think we might have actually swiftly got through this better than we thought we might have, but we haven't edited a few bits in yet while we're recording, so we'll find out. But anyway, it is time to ask for PT's power play after that mega weekend.
Okay, so I, you know, in my previous power plays, I've gone four tries just because there's been moments of brilliance that have led up to them. But it's not a hard and fast rule. For this one, this actually is a moment of play that didn't lead to a try. But that is why it's in my power play, because from the attacking perspective, incredible, should have been a try. But from the defensive perspective, incredible, try-saving tackle. So no surprise, I'm going to Trailfinders Bristol Bears, because that was, in my eyes, the game of the round. Just honestly, girls, I can't thank you enough for representing women's rugby so well. Like, you just brilliant, like amazing for the crowd. And I really do think they would have got people talking, and that's what we need. People talking down there. Did you see this? Did you see that? It was just incredible.
Yeah.
So there was a moment in the second half where Bristol Bears kick the ball through and Chloe Rowley is running back with no one around her except two Bristol players who have flanked her, who have defended her well. So one on either side, but you can just see as she's running, she's already thinking, where are they? And she just sort of looks and looks out of some, I mean, talk about eyes in your back of your head. Chloe Rowley, how did you know where they were? I don't know. But turns as quick as you like, gathers the ball, turns, step, she's gone. Then she puts a kick in behind, seeing the space. All of this, split second reaction, ball into space. The crowd up on their feet, like amazing, reactional rugby, brilliant. Next thing, Superwoman herself, Jasmine Joyce-Butchers, comes from nowhere, the other side of the field, like literally, you know, when you watch the movie of Superwoman, it's like a blur and then they appear. It was like a blur. And then she absolutely annihilated Chloe Rowley, a brilliant chop tackle. And in just that moment, I was just, wow, wow. So it didn't lead to a try, but amazing attacking prowess, amazing defensive work. And just for both of those teams, you are my power play for representing women's rugby so well. Please, just keep it coming. More of that. Amazing.
We love that. I love that, PT. Yeah, that's absolutely great. I think it has to be these sorts of moments that make people stand up, make people take notice. And certainly moments like that will. The very best on show. And what a surprise. It involved a Welsh woman. No, I'm joking. excellent from Jazz Joyce-Butchers as well. Well, weren't we treated to an amazing round in round 15? And aren't we expecting a few more twists and turns over the course of this PWR season? It has continued to deliver. I think we've absolutely loved the congested nature of this season. And we have just a couple of rounds to go as we build towards the playoffs as well. So keep in touch with us. Let us know who you're cheering on. Let us know how you think that top four battle is going to fall out. And do send us your reports as you're walking out of games at the weekend. We would love to hear where you're at with it. What are you up to then at the weekend, Philippa?
Yes. So I do have a confession.
You're watching a firework display.
I hate to say it, Nick, but I would prefer you to find it out from me than to hear it from someone else. Oh. I am off to Paris with the other woman. I'm sorry, Nick. I promise I will think about you for at least 10% of the time.
This is a Sarah Orchard moment, isn't it?
This is a Sarah Orchard moment. I am sorry. I'm in France. Kickoff for the Six Nations. France v Wales. I'll be live on BBC Five Live with the other woman.
On Friday night. Friday night game.
Yeah. Friday night game.
That's great. Oh,
yeah, which is
lovely.
Perfect because it leaves me all of Saturday to watch all of or whatever I can see anyway of the PWR.
Marvellous. Oh, well, we hope you enjoyed that. What a lovely, lovely treat that'll be for you. Yes, I'm off up to Edinburgh doing a bit of the under 26 Nations. And then I'm also on a bit of Rugby Europe Championship commentary live from International Broadcast Studios Tooting. It's one that I do remotely from my desk, but that is Portugal against Belgium. So I've got that on Saturday evening
Portugal,
to look forward to. So I shall be juggling multiple screens and trying to commentate and do everything. It is going to be wall-to-wall rugby at the weekend, and at this time of year I am like a pig in the proverbial so there we are. So yeah, whatever you're watching this weekend, multi-screen it to the max. We hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening to another Power Pod. It's a Level production produced by Caleb Matombwa. We will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye bye.